Late at night, the air is heavy. Whispers echo through the halls in the darkness. Secrets lurking, journalism's sacred call. Ink-stained fingers searching truth. Tripping walls on air tonight. Unearthing stories, hiding lies. Ethics guiding, shining light. Tripping walls, journalism 101.
Hello again, Tripping Raoul here. You might have noticed the rather unorthodox intro and outro on this podcast. Actually, since I haven't gotten a system down to have my intro-outro recorded, I found an alternative that is pretty darn convenient. There's this app called Suno, app.suno.ai, in which you can put your desired topic and keywords, and it creates a jingle of sorts for you. I didn't include the words ink-stained fingers anywhere in that description, so it came up with that all by itself, but it's really not too bad. When I get my other intro and outro recorded and processed, I'll change it up. I'm still pretty shaky on the envelope function in Audacity for the overdubbing words with audio. I'll definitely continue to use Audacity because, well, if you've listened to my first two episodes, you realize that I am no way a professional. As I mentioned at the end of episode two, today, class, let's talk about quoting people, especially those who society has deemed mentally unstable. There are two differing avenues of thought on approaching quotes. When I was at a major daily newspaper years ago working in sports, I noticed that when it came to ESL athletes, those who spoke with broken English or extreme accents, a reporter would quote these individuals verbatim. The competition, however, cleaned up the quotes. I rather prefer the written inflection of the athlete's verbal nuances over the cleaned up version. At the small New Mexico Daily I've talked about previously, I was handed a couple of problematic characters to interview. These people had been interviewed by my fellow reporters before I was hired. One of these characters was a conspiracy theorist. We'll call him Tim. Tim was certain the country was closing in on its demise. He was quoting a Bible passage about a donkey and, if I remember correctly, and I guess I don't because I can't find the passage anywhere, something about a rock, hiding behind a rock maybe, or maybe it had to do with Deuteronomy 22:10, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. That might be somewhat relevant. Tim had a business in town and was flying his United States flag upside down as a sign of dire distress, believing the country was in great peril. That did not sit well with the military veterans in town. They picketed him, I talked to him and to them, and reported on the story. It's always, always, always important to get both sides of the story, aka opposing views, which is something we're really greatly lacking in the media today. When I was at that New Mexico Daily, there was one time when I ended up having to run a one-sided story, and that was because it was a timely issue and nobody from the opposing side would get back with me. This little shrew of an editor with notoriously bad breath called me out on it, but there wasn't anything I could do. Tim liked me, though, and often visited me in the newsroom after our initial interview to bring me more propaganda that I never looked at. He did not like Bill, who you recall was my favorite colleague. He worked with Bill before and accused Bill of misquoting him. He liked me because my quotes were true to what he said. Bill admitted that he changed his quote, but had done it out of consideration, attempting to make Tim appear more stable than he was perceived otherwise. Now me, on the other hand, I quoted precisely what he said, and yes, I knew that it made him come across as possibly unbalanced, but it was what he said, and Tim recognized that, and to him, it was completely rational. A similar circumstance arose when I was interviewing a cancer patient who had attempted to remove her own breast implants with a disposable Bic razor, no less. But that's for another episode. I kept in touch with Bill after I was fired from that charming little New Mexico newspaper after, quote, God allegedly told the publisher I was evil. that's for another episode as well. Anyway, Bill came and visited our ranch, which has some cabins and an amazing fishing hole, even after we'd moved back to the big city. I was saddened to hear that he had passed over just a few years after I left. Speaking of passing over, you're taught in journalism school that you never put passed over or passed on or such things in an article or obit. The person is dead, and that's that. Journalistically, that's right. But in life, I disagree. And on that topic, back to Tim. When I did some research a few years back, I found out that he had died soon after I left town. His death was ruled a suicide. And from what I read, he fell from scaffolding a few floors high to his death. How he climbed up there in the night on a bare structure of steel rails is still a mystery. Do I think he killed himself? My heart says no. I think as controversial as he was, there's a good chance he had a little help. Thanks for listening to episode 3. I'm going to try to post one of these a week. Join me for episode 4, where I'll talk about being picketed. Shadows.